The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right. Praise God. I've been talking to you about a separate necessary part. And of course, I've taken that from 1 Corinthians 12:27. The New Living Translation says this: "Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part." If you are a part of the body of Christ, you are a separate but a very necessary part. I talk extensively about the fact that we are one body. The body of Christ is all over the world. The body of Christ is in every denomination. That doesn't mean that every denomination is a part of the body of Christ, because some of them have wholly and completely rejected what Christ has done on the cross for us. But I believe there's people in those denominations that are a part of the body of Christ. True believers in Jesus Christ. All over the world, wherever you go, if somebody believes that Christ is Lord and Savior and they live accordingly, they are part of the body of Christ. And it's important that we understand that, because here in the United States, I believe that we sometimes get off track with where we are and what we're supposed to be doing as the body of Christ. We are the body, not the head. Who's the head? Christ. Jesus is the head. And of course, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, inside of you, inside of all of us, is the one that's directing the church today as the authority of Christ and through the authority of Christ. So we are being directed by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit wants to direct His church. However, we get things all messed up sometimes, and we think we're the head instead of just the body. If we're not careful, and I'm not trying to be, I don't want to condemn anybody or any churches or anything, but we have got to keep our focus on who we are and where we fit. Sometimes we come up with all kinds of programs and philosophies about ministry that Holy Spirit is not in at all. If we're not careful, and I got to tell you, I've been guilty. I've seen things that worked for other people, and I said, wow, let's go try that. And we ran off in that direction, and it wasn't Holy Spirit directing us to do it. It was Pastor Rob, and, well, mostly Pastor Rob. I just have to take credit where credit is. You know, I'm human. But I can tell you this, I have learned a great lesson, that just because it works for somebody else doesn't mean it's what Holy Spirit wants us to do. If we see something and we want to try it, it's okay for us to come together as a church and as the leaders and say, God, is this what you want us to do? Is this the direction for us? We want to hear from you. All too often, I don't remember who it was that said this, but I heard this just a few years ago, that if the Holy Spirit, it might have been John Bevere, said if the Holy Spirit was taken out of the church today, majority of the churches would just continue doing what they're doing. Because Holy Spirit has nothing to do with what they're doing. We don't want to be that way. I don't want churches in our area to be that way. I want churches to be strong and directed by the Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit is the only way that we can move and accomplish great and mighty things. Holy Spirit is the only way that we can see miracles, signs, and wonders. Only through Holy Spirit directing and helping us and encouraging us. So sometimes we just have to be careful that we don't think that we're the head. We're kind of like, I heard a story about a lion who was the king of the jungle, of course. And he went to first the zebra and he said, who, he roared, who is king of the jungle? Of course, the zebra was frightened. And he said, why, you, almighty king, you are king of the jungle. Well, he was puffed up a little bit about that, and he went to the monkey. And he did the same thing. He roared, "Who is king of the jungle?" "Why, you are almighty king of the jungle, oh great lion." And he went to the elephant, and he roared, "Who is king of the jungle?" He no longer got the words out of his mouth. The elephant grabbed him with his trunk and beat him on the ground about three times, dunked him in the river and threw him in the air, grabbed him again and threw him down and stomped on him. He looked up at that elephant and he said, "Just because you disagree with me, you don't have to get so angry about it." Don't take it personally, you know. Lion. Elephant takes it personally sometimes. Listen. We have to recognize we are not all that.
That's right, sir. That's right.
We sometimes, listen, I look around, I see ministries, I see things that are happening, and they're not all this way, so please don't take this wrong. But there's some arrogance in the body of Christ. It really is. And we're just not all that. All we are is the body. The head is the one that needs to be glorified. The head is the one that needs to be lifted up. The head is the one that deserves all the credit. Not the body. We're just doing what the body's supposed to do. Going about doing our bodily functions as we're supposed to. So let's just briefly, I want to recap, one body all over the world. Each part has a special function we talked about. God appoints servant leaders. It is important that we recognize God appoints servant leaders in the church. Now, individual bodies have individual groups, and we have elders, and we have deacons in this church. And listen, I love every one of you. I don't want to run anybody off, but if you're going to be a part of this church, you have to recognize that God has established the leadership. If you don't believe that, you're probably in the wrong place. You need to find some place where you do believe that, that they're hearing from God. If you think Pastor Rob's not hearing from God, you have a trust issue with me, you're going to create problems instead of encourage and lift up. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I love all of you. This is an incredible group of people. I love every one of you. And for the most part, I think you love me. Maybe one or two of you don't. Amen. But there is an order of things. And if we do not follow the order of things, if we get out of obedience to the leadership of the church, guess who gets hurt? I'm not going to get hurt because I'm following God's leading and direction.
That's right.
If you become disobedient and rebellious, the Bible is full of people who were disobedient and rebellious. Read a little bit about them and then get in line.
Amen.
For your own good. Okay, enough of that. I've taught on too much of that already. Each part belongs to all the other parts. The body needs to be equipped. And today we're going to begin in Romans chapter 12 once again. Romans chapter 12. We'll look at verse 6, beginning with verse 6. Each part functions by the grace that is given. Verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. For those who say there is no such thing as prophecy in the Word, in the New Testament, you need to read the Scripture and understand. Prophecy is a part of New Testament Bible. A New Testament body. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in the teaching. Whatever your part is, do it. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. Who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever it is that you are supposed to be doing, do it. Just do it. You have gifts. God has given each and every person in here who is born again believer gifts to be used to exhort and lift up this body, whatever they are. But I thought it was wonderful. Billy talking this morning about the usher ministry. It's a helps ministry. And many times in the body of Christ, we look down on those kind of ministries. Oh, I don't want to be in helps ministry. I want to be a pastor. Well, you're crazy. I'm telling you, it's not what you think it is. I'm going to be an evangelist. Go back there and talk to Brother Ron before you decide you want to be an evangelist. He's telling me some stories this morning. There's some pain involved when you're in ministry. You want to be a prophet. Whew. Read what they did to the prophets in the Bible.
Oh, careful what you wish for.
Hallelujah, that is absolute truth. Man, helps ministry is wonderful ministry. In fact, I believe every one of us is called to helps ministry in some fashion and form. Because we're all called to be servants. And this ministry that Billy was describing this morning, he and Steva do such a great job. Praise God. They have a heart for it. They have a desire for it. They enjoy it. Hallelujah. Thank God we have somebody in that position that enjoys it.
Yes, sir.
He comes in with a smile. He runs out and helps people with a smile and expectation that he can do something to help somebody.
Yes.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's good stuff.
Yes, it is.
All right. I don't even know why I got off on that. We'll see. Amen. Each part functions by the grace that is given. The word here, grace, is charis or charis, we would say. We have Otis and Ivy and myself. And some of you probably know Pastor Leon Forte. Anybody in here know Pastor Leon? Yeah, some of you do, of course. Thought so. Pastor Leon has a daughter that they named Charis from this Greek word. And it's it means to afford joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness. And here's the one I want you to listen to. Favor.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Glory.
Yes, yes.
Favor. It says here that your gifts is given by the grace of God, which is God's favor on you. It has nothing to do with how good looking you are.
That's right.
Amen. You just have to come to grips with that, Todd. Has nothing to do with how wonderful you think you are.
That's right.
How good you are. You may be so talented that they're looking for you, you know, the best singer in the world, and you should be on, what's that, Voice? Is that? Yeah. You may have all the gifts and all the talents that are available, but God does not give you spiritual gifts based on who you are.
That's right.
That's right.
It's by His grace.
Amen.
They're given by the favor of God. And here's what it says in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no changing in our God. Those things that He gives us are good gifts for the benefit, not just our benefit. Now, this is important that we understand. We do benefit from them, but that's not the reason He gives it to you. Otis' gift is for me.
Yes.
My gift is for him.
Amen.
And for you.
That's right.
And your gifts are for this body.
That's right.
You may not necessarily like the gift you have. You need to use that gift and use it for the good of others. Because that's what it's all about. It's about servanthood, and it's about doing it the way God wants it done. And man, if we all will fit into that place where we're supposed to be, I want to tell you, the kingdom of God will expand like we've never imagined it to expand. Yes. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Because God's people are in unity. You know, even you go all the way back to the Tower of Babel. They built the Tower of Babel, and God said nothing is impossible for them because they're in agreement. How much more? That was evil. How much more when God's people come into agreement and we're moving in a direction that is exactly what God wants and we're all in agreement and united and happy and glory. Wouldn't that be something to have the church happy? Wouldn't that be something to see joy in the believers? Glory. I want each and every one of you to experience the joy of the Lord. And that's not just happiness. Happiness can be a part of it. But the joy of the Lord is knowing that no matter what is happening around me, hallelujah, God is on my side. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
No matter. You know? I love what Tammy said. We just flush that stuff, man. Just flush it out of there.
Right.
It goes down, it goes out there, and it just, Satan's out there, and it just dumps all over him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good.
Praise God. Each piece, each part functions by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I think that is so good for us to understand. Now here, there's three words that I think that we need to understand here. Let me jump down real quick, though, to go back to Romans 9, verse 25. Chapter 9, verse 25. Talking about what was recorded in Hosea. I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Do you know who he's talking about? Us. He's talking about non-Jewish people, Gentiles, who were not called a people of God, but are now able to be called the sons and daughters of God. Children of the Most High.
Yes, sir.
That's favor. That's God's favor. Now let me tell you, there's three words that I think that is very important that we understand. Justice, mercy, and grace.
Amen.
Justice, if you've done wrong, let's put it in the context of doing wrong. If you have done wrong, the punishment you get is justice. And I want you to understand, we serve a just God.
Yes, we do.
Unless you take his antidote for sin, which is his son Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer his wrath someday. That's just the way it is. There's not a lot of preaching these days about sin, but sin will destroy your life.
Yes, it will.
And it will destroy your eternal life. So, justice is a part of the kingdom. Mercy is a part of the kingdom. Mercy is you deserve something, but you're forgiven. That's what mercy is. You deserve punishment, but you're forgiven. But grace is not just the fact that you've been forgiven, but grace is that you find favor with the person that should be punishing you. Now let me put this in some context for you. Last night, while we were here for the Upward program, Ross was helping out. Ross Wells. Billy's son. He got the shopping cart that we have back there, and he was loading up the balls, and he was bringing them up here and unloading them. He and my grandson, was working on it together. And when he was done, Ross was just being a kid, of course, a shopping cart. What do you do when you're a kid with a shopping cart? You ride on it, don't you? I mean, every kid I've ever seen rides on a shopping cart if they have a shopping cart by themselves without their parent. So he was coming down this incline, riding on the shopping cart. And immediately his dad saw it and he said, "Son, stop that. You could damage the wall," something like that. I don't know his exact words. And he was right. Had Ross got too close, there would have been a great big skin mark all the way down that wall. Of course, Ross didn't even think about that possibility. That's kids for you, right? Had he done that, and myself being pastor with a certain amount of authority in this church, I could have said, "Ross, you're going to have to pay for that." And that would have been justice. And not only would he had to pay for it, then he would have had to pay when he got home, because I know his dad. So there was a penalty to be paid. That's justice. Mercy would have been if he had done that, and I would have said, "It's all right, Ross. I'll take care of it." It's mercy. Now, he would have had to deal with his dad himself. Because I can't get involved with that. But here's grace. This is the grace of God. He put a big mark down the wall, and I said, "Ross, I forgive you. I'll take care of it. But not only will I take care of it, but I'll go home with you and take whatever punishment your dad gives you." Grace is incredible. That's the favor of God. That's where you are when it comes to the gifts. The favor of God is on you. The favor of Jesus, of God through His Son Jesus Christ. You have His favor. And it doesn't matter what you've done. He's going to take all the punishment.
Come on.
Yes.
And He's going to bestow on you the gifts because you are His son or daughter. Oh, it's good. It is so good. What a mighty God we serve. Let's go on. Verse 9, chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Verse 9 and 10, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." Each part, each one of us, and each function that we have, we must be motivated by love. We must be motivated to love the people in this congregation, one another, and we must be motivated to love, Jesus said, even our enemies. Now listen, it's easy. It's easy for me to love Randy Foulkes. Well, it's not always easy, but especially when we're playing basketball. But it's easy. Randy's a good guy. Randy has a great attitude. Randy's fun to be around. You know, so I love him. And it's easy for me to say I love him. It's easy to say I love the people here. But what about the people that are saying nasty things about me and the church? Can I love them? I have to. I need to. I must walk in that kind of love. It's not just that God says you must suffer through it and act like you love them. You've got to love them. If they come to a, if there's a situation where you can do some good to somebody that has done evil to you, that's love. That's love. That's action. And that's going to be love. Whenever somebody's saying something evil about you, retaliation is not an option. As hard as it is, it's not an option. We must love. And these gifts and just being in a part of a body and having interaction with people, there's going to be times where we as a body, as a people, do not always agree with everything. That's when we have to put the love into action. And make sure that we are walking in love toward one another. Amen. Your gifts are given to you because God has favor on you. That's why we should love one another. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We all know this chapter, the love chapter. It's important that we read this from time to time and go over it because it really makes the point of what is vitally important in the body. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I do that. I'm guilty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is there anybody else that speaks in with the tongues of men and angels? You do. If you have prayer language, you're speaking a language you don't understand. That could be language of angels. So I'm guilty. But love not, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. We have just become something that makes a lot of noise. And I will say this, that I believe the church is full of noisemakers.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Particularly in the pulpit. Making lots of noise. Speaking with tongues of men and of angels. Making a spectacle. Causing people to look to them. You know, in the body of Christ, we have to be very careful that we do not allow some charismatic individual to lead us in a wrong direction.
Amen.
You're safe here because I'm not that charismatic individual. But I have a desire to please God, and I want to do what God wants me to do. But I am just like all the rest of you. If I find somebody, if I hear somebody that I enjoy listening to, I have to be careful that I don't just get caught up in their presentation and their abilities. I must make sure that they are preaching and teaching the Word of God. It's so important for all of us because there's a lot of good teachers out there. Are they staying on track? A lot of them are. Some of them aren't. And we've seen people deceived in the past in such an incredible way that they'll even take their own life for somebody they're following. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. All these things, If you were going or being a part of a local body, just like you are here, if you're a part of this local body, all these things are very important. However, if we're not careful, we'll allow them to become a religious exercise rather than a motivation out of love. And religious exercise will get you nowhere. That's what Paul's saying here. You can't just get to the point where you're going through the motions. You may be doing all the right things, but the motivation behind it must be pure. It must be right. Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, is not provoked. Wow. Listen. This is speaking to our families. This is speaking to our relationships. In our households. It doesn't act rudely. Now, I'm not going to ask you, gentlemen, but I want to point out that it's very important as the head of your household that you're not rude to your spouse or your children. Amen. And sometimes we can be that way. We need to be careful of how we're conducting ourselves in our household. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will be vanished away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. We won't need this when Jesus comes back. None of those things. We won't need these spiritual gifts. Things are going to be totally different when Christ returns. But now we need them. We need them because we just know in part, but the Holy Spirit knows completely and totally. That's why we need the gifts in the body. That's why we need prophecy and tongues and interpretation and words of wisdom and knowledge and all these things. That's why we need people walking in their teaching gifts, in the gift of pastor and evangelist. We need people who understand and know what it means to walk in the gifts of hospitality and all these gifts that are a part of the body. So that we can be fulfilled as a body. You're to use your gifts not because you want to, but because you love. Period. That's just the way it is. Some of us, you know, we wonder what our gifts are. Well, there's ways of finding out, but first of all, one of the first things I believe we need to do is just get busy. Amen. Get involved. Do something. I read a story about a professor, a Christian, at a Christian college, and every week he went to the local nursing home, and he went there to visit the people who were shut in, and sometimes they had people that came and visited them, and other times they had no one. And he would just visit, and his students were so amazed by him. They'd talk from time to time how wonderful it is that he feels the calling and the gifting, and he enjoys doing what he's doing. And one day during class, the topic came up, and one of the students said, Professor, we just want to encourage you. We really are thankful that you enjoy going to the nursing home. And he blew up. He said, "Are you crazy? Do you think I enjoy going and smelling urine, stepping over bedpans, talking to people who are senile and sometimes won't even respond to me? Do you think I like doing that?" And they were all silent. He said, "No, I don't like doing it." One of the students said, "Well, why do you do it?" And he said one word: love. Love. Why are you not doing something for the body of Christ? Why are you not being fulfilled? Why are you not fulfilling your calling? You are called to for love. Last thing. I'm going to let you go here before long. How many's fasting? Well, if you're fasting your whole meal, we don't have to worry about going anywhere to eat. I got all kinds of time. I doubt if everybody's doing that. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. One of the things that we have to come to grips with is that the Holy Spirit is in charge. And He's the one that distributes the gifts. We just receive what He distributes. I believe if we are diligent in using our gifts, God does add gifts to people. There's no doubt about it. I've seen that happen time and time again. If somebody has a gift and they're diligent about using it properly, God adds to it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, in the King James, it talks about being slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, I'm sure that everybody in here has seen a sloth before. Have you seen them on TV, maybe an animal program? You notice that sloths are extremely slow. They don't move much at all. They're found in Central and South America, in the rainforest. They're so slow that algae grows on their fur. Imagine that. They sleep in the tops of trees. There's great, huge trees in the rainforest. And they sleep up to 20 hours a day. Proverbs 18:9 says, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." Now, remember, I believe that we have a problem in our nation and that there's a lot of slothful people who are not diligent in their work. We're not being trained that way any longer. There was a time where our whole society trained people to be diligent about everything that they did. And that's showing up in the church these days. So I would say to you, we as a church must be responsible for training people to be diligent about their work and their efforts. And not to be slothful. Even when a sloth wakes up, they often remain motionless for hours and hours. Now here's the thing. Sloths have been found in treetops, dead, still hanging on. And it appeared to the people that saw them and was looking at them over and over that they may still be alive, because how can you tell whether a sloth is dead or alive? You see, in the body of Christ, I'm not sure sometimes whether people are dead or alive. They're just hanging there. Just hanging around. I need you. We need you.
Yes, sir. Yes,
to be a part.
Yes, sir.
I don't mind you hanging around. But just don't get in the way. Because sometimes if you're hanging around, you got two or three people just hanging there, we're not going to get anything done. My encouragement to you today is get on board. Get involved. Find a life group. Get plugged in. Find a ministry. Get plugged in. Maybe you'll find that it's not necessarily the one that God wants you to be involved with, but get involved. There's a sloth for you. Cute guy, isn't he? Hallelujah. We need every person in here. We have kingdom work to do. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of ministry that we do, and I really appreciate what Jill does down with the thrift store and all the things that are being done. Janice is involved with that and other people involved. It's wonderful. The food pantry, I just thank God. I thank God for our children's ministries, the life group ministries, all these things that are happening. But the things that are reaching out in the community, I guess I just have a heart to see us get beyond these four walls. It's wonderful to have the things going on inside, but it's even more wonderful to see them going on outside.
That's right.
And Upward program is just an incredible program that you are a part of. Whether you actually have hands-on in it, because you're a part of Bethel Worship Center, you are a part of the Upward program. And the Upward, when we have Upward every year, every week during practice, we talk about Scripture with these kids. Some of them don't go to church. Every week at the ball games, they hear a devotion about Christ and what He means to them in their life. And at the end program, I'm telling you, Eddie Bear knocked them dead. Or alive, I should say alive. With his presentation last night. It was fantastic. And it was all about completing the race. But also, he made it perfectly clear that you're only going to complete the race properly if you have Christ as your personal Savior.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know how many people we had in here. 220 something. Something like that. There was a lot of people in here. And because you support Upward, they all heard the gospel message. That's good. Thank you for being a part of it. Now, there's more work to be done. Get on board. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Bow your head, please. Just thank you, Father God, for this awesome church, Lord. For the people that I know love you and are seeking your face. And I ask, Lord God, that you just continue to stir us, expand us, cause us to be a part of your worldwide body that is touching the lives of individuals. But Father, here in this community, help us to join together with other believers, other churches, to accomplish mighty things for your kingdom. That you will be lifted up, Father, and you will be glorified. Thank you for the individual members that are part of this body and their efforts to do kingdom work. For it's all about your kingdom. Lord, we thank you and we give you glory and honor as we leave this place, Lord. We go forth knowing that you have called us, you have equipped us, and you are challenging us to do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Have a wonderful day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.